Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hey, 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 what's going on, y'all? This is JD of JD's Man Cave. I'm sitting here tonight in Houston, Texas, 7 o'clock as usual. We're coming right into your front room and sit down and talk with you. And I got my co-host tonight with me, Big Reggio. Go ahead and say hello.
Hey, how y'all folks doing out there?
What's happening, y'all? Yeah, tonight we have a interesting topic because October was Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we kind of glazed past that without talking about it. I wanted to bring up domestic violence tonight on the Man Cave with November have passed. Of course, I'm late, but it's better late than never. So we'll go ahead and talk about domestic violence tonight. And that'll be our focal point. We'll be talking about domestic violence and how it affects the Black community. And just the, just the sickness that's going on with domestic violence that really attaches itself as a virus in our community. It runs rampant in our community, and a lot of times we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to discuss it. You know, we at the family dinners and nobody's bringing it up, even though you're sitting over there looking at your cousin or your auntie with the shades on and they in the house. You know, and nobody's saying anything about that. She's sitting over there with a swollen eye and nobody's saying nothing about it. So we want to, just pull the blinders back. I mean, pull the covers off of it and expose the rampant plague of domestic violence in our communities. Reggio, have you had any type of run-ins with this situation in your endeavors?
Well, of course, being a Black man myself, I'm surrounded, by domestic violence, whether it be man on woman on man, child on parent on child. And it's just something we grew up with. And, we always slip in the world. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, nobody wanted to talk about it. Exactly. That's what I talked about. That's what I was saying in the opening. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that man on man, woman on woman, what I'm saying? Because I was looking up, different statistics, and domestic violence has gotten so rampant in the community, they no longer just call it domestic violence because, domestic violence gives a stigma of a husband beating his wife. You know what I'm saying? But they have gotten past even calling it domestic violence. They have what they call IPV now, which is intimate partner violence, which is more adhering to the times we have, because now relationships are not just man and woman.
Yeah.
So they call it intimate partner violence now to kind of encompass the whole gamut of different type of family relationships that you have going on. So, they're calling it IPV now, intimate partner violence. That was my first time ever hearing that term. But to me, it makes sense because of the diversity that you have in relationships now. You got men sleeping with men. You got women sleeping with women. So you never know who's the couple. Yeah, you never know who's a couple and who's, and even in a man and woman dynamic, sometimes the woman is the abuser, rather than the man. We so often hear about, say again?
I've witnessed it all.
We say, Rachel, I've witnessed it all.
I
feel you. But yeah, coming up in the neighborhood and just, like you say, through our going through life, I guess you could say life experiences. I have seen a little bit of everything, man. I'm talking about and I was exposed to domestic violence early because when we were kids, we lived in, apartment buildings. Yeah. So my father, at the time, he hadn't saved up enough money to buy us a home. So we were living in apartments when him and my mom first got married. So as a kid in the Black neighborhoods in apartments, you know what that's like because you got so many families, so many people interacting with one another, living right on top of each other.
Yeah.
And You know, you have so many people in each other's business and so many people putting their own business out there, you know, to pretty much our apartments, man, to be honest with you, were like a, you know, it was pure entertainment.
Yeah.
All day, you know, all day, every week. We had guys who we knew when they got home, it was going to be some foolishness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fighting and all that. We had fights all out in the courtyards and, you know, just you know, everything going on when you're a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
To be exposed to that as a child, you really know what it is, but you don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? You don't understand the dynamics of it and how it's affecting the entire community. You know, because like I said, you see these little kids are seeing this out there. Now, you may not be exposed to it at your household, per se, but you're exposed to it in your neighborhood. So you see that man beating on that woman or, you know, whatever, and that leaves a psychological scar in your mind, whether you wanted to or not as a child, because it becomes you are a part of your environment.
Yeah.
You know, your development is dependent upon your environment and your exposure. So we have to understand that when we have those type of situations in our communities, it's not only affecting that family that's directly intertwined in it, but it's also affecting the entire community because other kids will see it. You know, it's just like when you see a child get a whooping in the store. You know what I'm saying? Other kids ain't getting a whooping maybe at their house, but they seeing it. And that leaves a psychological scar on that child, even though he wasn't actually the victim of it, but he saw it. You know, he keeps that impression in his head, whether he wants to or not. But I'm gonna let you talk on the subject and what you feel about it.
Well, a lot of people think that when you talk about abuse, that it's only physical.
Right.
Sometimes it's more than just physical. I mean, I witness a lot of mental abuse, verbal abuse. You know, where your parents just talk to you in a kind of way, call you out your name. You know, talk down on you, make you feel like you're less than nothing.
Right.
You grew up thinking that that's just the way it is, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, I grew up in a household where my grandmother, she would say everything to you. She didn't care whether it hurt your feelings or how it would affect you. I mean, I think personally for me, it made me a stronger person.
Right.
But, you know, I got pretty thick skin.
I was just going to say, but the thing about it is your constitution may have been different from, you know, even that's why I think you get so many different children that come out the same home.
Yeah.
You know, you have, because the same things, they see the same things, they're exposed to the same, but it affects each child differently.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that the point you just made is a statement that backs that up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, you had this, it made you stronger.
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe another sibling, it made them weaker and angry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And made them a bitter child, bitter children turn into bitter adults.
And you'll never understand what that person's going through because you're not feeling what they're feeling.
Right.
You understand why they can't shake it off. You know why?
Hey, Bobby, don't.
Why they let this get to them as much as it get to you? I'm not saying it never got to me. It just got to the point where, hey, wasn't nobody gonna feel sorry for me anyway.
Right.
So I had to make myself strong and realize that, hey, man, that didn't mean that person didn't love you per se. Maybe they didn't know how to love. Maybe that's the way they was treated. So that's the only way they know how to treat you. You know what I'm saying? So, but like I say, I'm a different person. You know,
I look
at things different than some people who, I'm not going to say they're weaker than me because that's not how I look at it. Because just, I understood. Probably shouldn't have understood, but I just could see, you know, why a person was doing what they're doing, and you know, and I wasn't gonna let that affect me, and I was also not gonna make me treat my kids that same way.
Right.
So,
what's up, Steve? What's going on,
hey,
bro?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on?
Not much. Right. Good to have you on the show. We're talking about domestic violence tonight in the Black community, Steve, and we had just touched bases on. I was researching this topic and came to find out that in the sociological circuit, it's no longer just called domestic violence, because domestic violence had the connotation of a man and a woman being in combat in a household. What they're calling it now is IPV, which is intimate partner violence. Because of the different dynamics of relationships that you have man on man, woman on, you know, woman on woman, yeah, and different dynamics in households that are making up relationships now. So they simply coined the phrase of intimate partner violence. So we're trying to tap into that and talk about how in our Black community, we so often in our homes, you know, sweep things like this under the rug and don't talk about it like we should. I was talking about,
you know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
My dad often talked about this growing up as a child. He grew up in an abusive household. You know, my grandfather, Sidney, was an abusive husband. And he would beat my grandmother. You know, something would happen. He'd come home drunk and, you know, Louisiana drunk. And, you know, next thing you know, they fighting. You know, you know, my grandmother being a Louisiana woman and my grandfather being a Louisiana man, you know, it was almost, how can I put it?
Mutual combat.
To let my father tell the stories, it was a common Friday, Saturday night thing,
right,
amongst people of Creole households. Friday, Saturday night, somebody getting their ass whooped, and then they're going to pray about it in church Sunday morning at Mass.
That is. But,
you
but
know, my grandmother in her later years, you know, she always carried a knife. Her and her sisters, they carried knives. You know, they were some knife fighters, real live knife fighters. And my grandmother, you know, bless her soul, you know, when she came to Houston, she moved to Milby Street, Third Ward.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
My grandfather, you know, they got into it, and it got to the point my grandmother started packing her 38. Mm. And even and it seemed that she started, she was attracted to men who had violent past. There was a guy, I don't know if you know him, Mr. Robert, he had a auto mechanic shop right off OSTN Griggs. It used to be a big auto mechanic shop right off OSTN Griggs. My grandmother dated that man. Well, they got into it. He started beating on him. My grandmother ran out the house, shooting behind him. Shot him in the stomach like twice, running from him, but shooting behind him.
Right.
You know, and my father.
Get him up off of you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And my father. When I got older, I would hear him and my mom get into it, but he would leave. He would walk out. He would leave.
Right.
And I asked him, you know, when I got 12, 13, you know, you start smelling yourself. I asked him, hey man, would you ever put your hands on my mama? You know, I just had to ask him. I was about his size now, 12, 13 years old. I was growing up. Now I'm smelling myself. Right. And after argument, I asked him, you know, hey, would you ever put your hands on my mama? And he looked me square in my eyes and told me that he watched enough of that growing up as a kid and swore that he would never do that.
Right.
Even so, son, so as you see, when we get in an argument, you hear me and your mama arguing, yelling, you'll see me just, I'll leave. I'd rather walk away and let things cool down than to sit up here and watch my and let my children watch me hit their mother. He said, I swore I'd never be that man. He said, I watched my daddy do that to my mama. You know, he said, he swore when he got a family, he would love and keep his family and would never do that. And that's one of the greatest lessons I learned from my dad. Me and Courtney talk plenty of noise. I told you about her today. She talking about a chore, a $16 chore.
Right.
I could have raised my voice, yelled at her, cussed and stuff, but instead, I chilled.
Right.
I just looked at her and said, baby, I love you. And that's all I can say. I said, I love you. And that just seemed to take a lot of the sting and a lot of the wind out of us. You know,
that would inflate the situation real quick, too. That would de-escalate it real fast.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you can't, your house has to be a house of peace.
Well, I talk about this all the time, Steve, that we as the men and the leaders of a household, we are like the thermostat in the house. We set the temperature for the house.
Yep.
And if we come in that house with chaos and confusion and utter disregard for anybody else in that house, that's what's going to be in that house. When you get there, that's what's going to meet you back. Your force coming in that house is going to bring that force back to you. So we set the temperature for the household as the black man. And that's why I always talk about, I like this show because that's, and people get on me because they, man, you always down in black men. And I say, no, I'm not down in black men. But what I am saying is black men, we need to understand that for the problem and the things to go right in the household, we have to be the catalyst for the change.
We have to be held accountable.
Exactly. And we got to be responsible and held accountable for the environment that's in our black households and our black community. And too many of us want to throw the blame off. You know, we had that Adam syndrome, I call it. You know, when God asked Adam, why did you eat the apple? And I told you not to. He said it was because of that woman you gave me. No, it wasn't because I gave you the mandate not to eat the fruit. So It's your fault that you and her ate it. You see what I'm saying? So we have to have that same type of responsibility in our households and in our families. And I'm glad you brought up the fact about your father saying that the reason why he does not get into it with your mother is because he watched his father and his mother fight like cats and dogs.
Right.
But see, the thing is, that works in two different dynamics. Like Reggie was saying, when you're dealing with families and children, we don't understand that when we're in our household doing certain things, kids are like little sponges. They pick up stuff. They absorb it real fast.
Right.
And like it could have affected your father where he felt like, you know, that fighting was a normal relationship and he was just going to carry it on with your mother when he got married. Or it could have affected him like you said it did. He swore that he would never be that person because it affected him in fact, I don't want to say a positive light, but it made him think not to do that. You know, he made a conscious decision that he was not going to be that. And see, that's the different ways that we have to look at the dynamics that happen and the things that we need to be cognitive of when we're dealing with our households and our families. And so many men nowadays don't do that. We fly off the handle, and that's another thing they were talking about with domestic violence in the black household. It stems from, it came from the black man perspective. It came from the anger of the black man. And the anger in the black man stems from the systematic racism that he has to face every day. You know, and a lot of times that is, you know, because he's so angry with the world and the way the world's treating him out there in the streets, he brings that anger home and misguides it on his family members, his loved ones. And see, we have to get away from that and understand that you leave the streets in the streets and home is a different place. You know, that's supposed to be a sanctuary. And we have so many men who are so psychologically detached that they aren't able to decipher that when they get home. They bring that anger that they, you know, the boss man talking crazy to you, but you can't talk crazy back to him. So when you get home and your wife say any little small thing that you feel maybe kind of out of line, all that anger that you would build up all day from the boss man, you wanted to cuss him out, you end up cussing your wife out. You see what I'm saying? But this is the same woman you got to lay down beside and you raising families with and, you know, you paying bills with and supposed to be loving on them. But you have put, you know, like they say, there's power, life and death in the tongue. You know, so we have to understand that even I know I had to understand it as a black man. You know, me being in the barbershop all the time and being in the street, Steve, growing up, I have a sharp tongue. I will cut you to the bone with my words. No problem.
Yeah, I've seen that in action at Wack Barbershop on the time or two.
Exactly. So you know what I'm talking about. So
oh, absolutely.
The thing was, I had to learn that there is an art to arguing with your spouse. You cannot attack them like you would, like I would attack somebody in the street. Like say if they having a what they call it, the dozens, you know, playing the dozens or shooting them down. You can't do your wife like that. You can't jump on her and say anything you want to her in any tone of voice. I had to learn to have a certain tone of voice, certain words I can and can't use in her presence. I can't, you know, I just can't talk to her. I can't talk to her any kind of way. And she made me understand that real fast. You know, you know, my wife is 5'2", little old bitty, piece of dynamite, I call it. She will blow up on you in a minute. You got to handle dynamite carefully. You see what I'm saying? Because she will blow up and that house will go up in smoke right around.
I got a camera.
But so I had to learn that there's an art to arguing with your spouse. And as soon as you learn that art and learn how to deal with that art, your life will be a lot better, you know, as a married black man, period. And I thank God for the wisdom of Solomon to learn how to argue with my wife and learn when not to argue. Just let it be. You know, but let me tell you something about black women. They will have an argument with you when you're agreeing with them.
You ain't got to tell me.
I have literally had that happen. I'll be like, wait a minute. I just said I agree. Why are we still arguing?
That was my situation earlier today. I'm like, baby, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just letting you know that, hey, I saw this charge, and I just had a question about it. I just want to make sure it's not a fraudulent charge, because I've told these people before, stop charging us.
Hey,
so bro. What you trying to say? Never mind. That's all right. I'm just gonna cancel my subscription. I didn't say do none of that. That ain't what I said.
Hey, bro, let me tell you something. as the old folks you say, you preach it to the choir. I'm already in that church. I'm already here with you. I got one of them at my house. So
JD, they say happy wife, happy life. But I'm at the point now where it's like happy husband, or I'm finna start messing with your cousin.
Oh Lord. Hey, I just want you to know I'm gonna be in the front row at your funeral, bro.
Just say good words for me, that's all.
I got my black suit and everything. I already keep playing him.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, keep playing.
You know, a lot of people don't know though that sometimes when you're in a dangerous situation, sometimes you just can't walk away. Sometimes you just have to leave, period, and don't come back. Because in some situations, I dated a woman before that she didn't believe that I loved her unless I hit her. Mm-hmm. And she would do all kinds of things to try to make me hit her.
Yeah,
now, I grew up in a household where my mom just raised me as a single parent, never put your hands on a woman.
Right.
So I always tried to listen to what she was telling me and not do that because, first of all, I'm physically stronger than a woman anyway. And, you know, and I know as big as I am and as strong as I am, I could seriously hurt her. Even if I'm just pushing her to stop her from hitting me, I could push her, she could fall, hit her head, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? And then now I'm down there in the courtroom trying to explain what happened and how I didn't mean to do this. So sometimes when you're in a volatile relationship, sometimes you just got to leave altogether. Unfortunately, one occasion when she got me to the point that I did want to hit her, I had a friend there to stop me from doing what probably would have just screwed up my whole life. And it was JD and Franshaw.
Right.
I mean, she got to me to the point where they both had to tackle me down to the ground to stop me from doing what I was trying to get to her. And I realized then, I said, you know what? This is not for me.
Right.
I can't continue to be in the, because I ignored a lot of stuff that she was doing to me. And I don't know if it was love or I don't know what it was. I stuck around because I was trying to make it work with her. But I came to the point where I realized she's going to make me hurt her. I had to leave the relationship alone. I had to just get out of it completely. She didn't understand why, but I don't think if a person loves you, they should have to beat you to prove that they love you.
Right.
And
right.
These were her words. These are not my words. She told me this herself. Hey, man, you must don't love me because you don't never hit me. And I'm like, what does that have to do with love? But a lot of women grew up thinking that that's what love is. If a man don't love him, if he don't get jealous or, you know, he don't act a fool about her I was young. I was like 20, 21. I didn't understand it, you know, but I had to get out that relationship.
And you know, Reggie, it's funny that you bring that up because I remember that situation because, man, me and you've been knowing each other forever. But, Steve, I literally dated this woman, and I liked her a lot. We were, you know, this was in my 20s, like Reggie was saying. And the girl, I could not believe that there are actually women out there who think like that. She told me that I didn't love her because me and her don't fight. I said, we don't fight. I said, we argue all the time. What are you talking about? No, I'm talking about physically fight. I said, what? I said, you do know I just got out of college football. I'm strong with all I do. I said, you really don't want to be fighting me. I said, there ain't going to be no fair fight. I said, and besides that, I don't want nothing I got to beat. I don't want, you know, beating it. Let me tell you something. I always came from the mindset of love don't hurt, whether it be physically, emotionally, whatever. But there, I just don't honestly think that there's a woman that can beat me, you know, going to beat me up. That's just, if it ain't a fair fight, it ain't a fight. So why would I jump on a woman? Was always my thinking. But she literally told me one day, and we had been dating probably about a month and a half. She said, you must don't love me for real. Because me and my old boyfriend, we used to fight like cats and dogs. We beat each other up. I looked at her like, are you serious? I come from the same concept, Reggie. I was taught, you know, I had two younger sisters. And my sisters could walk up and slap me. And my daddy, hey, boy, you better not put your hands on them girls. You know, and I was just raised and never fight on women. So I understand where Reggie is coming from because that's what, you know, that's what we were taught and it was drilled in our head. But when she told me that, Steve, I promise you, I started looking for the front door because I was like, man, this woman here, because she, let me tell you something about a woman. Women know how to push your buttons and what will trigger you and they understand you. The woman you're sleeping with understand you better than anybody else in the world. And they know exactly what makes you tick and what will ignite you into a rage. So I knew then I had to start looking for the front door, as they say. You remember this song? I'm looking for the front door.
Yeah, main source.
I started with who was Steve?
Main source.
Main source. There you go. I knew Steve, you know. But I started looking for the front door. Let me tell you what happened. She left and went to work. I left and went to work, but all my stuff was already in my car when I left and went to work. So when she came back, I did it so smooth, Steve, she didn't even realize I had moved out. So I just, and to be honest with you, she don't know if I'm dead or alive unless she's watching this, but I never contacted her again. Bro, I disappear out your life like smoke. I ain't got no problem with it. I'm gone. You don't know where smoke went, but you know it's gone. Yeah. That was me. Back in the day, when in my 20s, I would take off on you in a minute. If I saw a red flag, and that would, to me, that type of relationship is a red flag with a bright light on it. So you sure can't miss that flag. So
I remember that time you packed your Camaro and left.
Hey, you better know it.
I know you get up and go.
You know,
especially if it ain't right. Especially if it's not right, you can't. Your house has to be a house of peace. You can't have no peace, man. If your woman wants you to fight her to prove your love, what the dude say? Damn, I gotta fight every night to prove my love.
That ain't
love, man. That man, look, that's the Ike and Tina or the Rick James school of love right there. I can't subscribe to that, bro.
And let me tell you something.
I'm too light skinned to go to jail, bro. I can't do it. I ain't be trying to be fighting niggas off my booty, man.
But the thing about it is that black women don't understand is, and black men need to understand it too. When you nowadays, when you get caught up in some domestic dispute type situation, you guilty until proven innocent. Especially if you're a big black guy, you in trouble. When the police get to the door, you in trouble, bro. They know you did. I don't care, even if you ain't done it, they know you did.
I definitely attest to that. I had the police come to my door and say, damn, man, you big as hell. He looking at me. I say, so I can't get no help. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's what it sounds like.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm already guilty when he walked up my door and see, he even asked me, let me check your license and see if you got warrants. I say, what? Hold up, man, I called you. So when you just check to see if I got warrants.
Right. I'm the one to call you.
I'm the one to call you, but hey, I can't get no help.
Hey, Steve.
I called you so I wouldn't get in trouble, but I'm in trouble anyway.
Right. It's funny you bring your story up like that. I literally had this girl that I had been dating, and I just, you know, she was kind of throwed off, you know, crazy, want to be violent with me. Now, here I am, you know, 285 pounds or so, 6 feet tall, and you 5 foot nothing, and you think you can beat me fighting. Now, she literally would buck up to me like a dude in the street wanting to fight me. I'm like, hey, calm down, chill out. You know, you can't handle, when you got a person like that, you can't have a regular argument or disagreement with. It's best to leave them alone. But, I mean, that's just future reference for TV land out there. Y'all, you hear me? Or easy, you get the easy way or the hard way to learn, but I'm trying to give you the easy way. But anyway.
Hey, look, JD, that happened to my homeboy. My homeboy, every bit of 5'9", 5'10". Chick, right? He was dating, 6'3", 6'4". We called her the big one. She was just a big girl, man. Beautiful. Amazon.
Big shirt.
Hey, man. They got into it. She hit him. He called the police. He called the sheriff.
Right.
The police come to the door. She answers the door. Now, they see her 6'3", 6'4", just thick black woman. They freaking, right. Oh, shit. You know, excuse me. If she's 6'3", 6'4", this dude got to be Black Superman.
Right.
They had their guns drawn high going into the house.
Right.
You know, he come to the door. They got the guns drawn above his head. Because they thinking the dude they finna meet, man, is like massive, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he's like, thank God you guys got it. They like, thank God you guys got it. He got his nose is bleed. They're like, sir, what happened? Hey, man, look. My face didn't hit her. My face didn't hit her fist. She hit me in the face. I didn't hit her with my face to her fist. She hit me.
Right.
They told him to step outside. He's like, what I got to step outside for? Like you said, I called y'all.
Right.
But she came to the door. She's a woman. The first thing they ask is, who place is it? It's my place. Is her name on the lease? Nope, it's my place. She just come by to visit. I need her to go. And they still wanted him to leave.
Right. From his place.
Even though his name on the lease.
Right.
I mean, he didn't go get it or nothing, but still, they still were like, hey, look, so you think you can just leave for, you know, maybe tonight or something? Like, no, she need to go. This is my house. But because she's a woman, came to.
Hey, but the girl, and that's kind of what happened to me. The girl that I'm talking about. So I done went out to the club. Me and her, I done stopped talking to her about a month before this. So I go the club one night. I come home about 2:30 in the morning. So I'm two shades to the wind for that good oil. Yeah. So I'm staggering up to my house. I go in the door, unlock the door, and I close my door and lock it. And no sooner than I lock the door, I hear, I'm talking about you had to be four or five steps behind me to knock that fast.
Right.
So I'm, you know, they knock on the door. So I'm thinking it's the police or something. So I unlock the door and open it, and it's her standing there. And she goes, "We need to talk." I say, "Talk about
See, what?" See, right there, you know you're in trouble right there when they say that we need to talk.
Hey, we need to talk. I say, "Wait a minute. First of all, it's 3 o'clock almost in the morning." I said, "Wait a minute, it's too early." I say, "I got to go to work tomorrow because you know at the time I was cutting hair in the barbershop." Yeah. I say, I got to get up and go to the shop in the morning. I ain't got time to talk to you tonight. I say, you check with me tomorrow, call me, whatever, come by the shop. But I'm finna get ready to go out to bed. I say, I had too much to drink already. I need to go sleep some of this out. Now, we need to talk. I said, baby, look here, let me tell you something. I'm not finna stand at this door and argue with you at my house. I'm finna go to bed. I got ready to close the door. Steve, she dropped her shoulder like she was Earl Campbell coming through at the Astrodome. And hit that door and knocked me back. Now, I'm already about 285. She knocked me back into my living room, and the door flung open and hit the bah, hit the door and put a hole in the wall behind
me. Yeah.
So that pissed me off, but that got my deposit. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But she comes in the house, and I'm standing there like, are you serious? I said, man, hold up, man. I said, man, look, just go home. Now, I know she got two daughters at home. I know her, you know. So I'm like, look, I don't want no problems. I just want my peace at my house. Can you please leave? I ain't going no damn way. You know, she's going off by now. So I said, well, look here, man. I ain't talking to you tonight. I'm finna go to bed. So she gets to grabbing on me and pulling on me. I said, so I call the police on my phone, 911, tell them I'm having a disturbance at my house. I need some police here in a hurry. I say, there's some problems going. You know, I'm trying to get the laws here. So the lady asked me all my information, the pertinent information, all that. So needless to say, she hear me calling the laws. I'm thinking me calling the laws gonna make her leave. This fool here, this I know she was crazy for real. She hear me calling the laws and she's still on leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Police finally get there. Like you say, I come answer my door. She's still in the back there hollering and cussing and fussing. I answer the door. The police say, somebody called. I say, man, look here, I need y'all, man. Y'all need to get out of my apartment. Well, sir, who are you? I said, I'm James. I'm the owner of the apartment. Well, let me see your ID. I said, man, I'm the one calling y'all. What you need my? Well, we need to check everybody. I said, all right, man, here, I give my ID or whatever. And they come in and talking to me, and I'm telling them what happened and all, you know, all the situation. And they take her ID. They go out there and run it, both our IDs. I ain't got no warrants. She got warrants. I'm sitting myself thinking, now if you know somebody call the police and the police coming and you know you got traffic warrants, why would you stay there? So I know you real, real crazy. You're not just crazy, you real, real crazy.
She didn't believe you called.
But you listen to me on the phone, 911, and giving out all my information.
Talk to somebody that's not rational at all.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, they rationally took her behind in the jailhouse. And her truck, I come to find out, she had been sitting out there all night in that truck with my homeboy. I said, man, that truck was up. Because he saw me over there by her truck the next day. Yeah. He said, man, who truck is that? I said, man, it's the girl that came to my house last night and I sent her to jail with them laws. He said, man, that truck had been sitting out there all day almost yesterday. I said, what? He said, yeah. So I don't know how long she was prepared to stay out there in my parking lot. But let me tell you something. You can't do nothing with crazy. Put it like that. When it comes to dealing with women, you can't do nothing with crazy. And I'm gonna tell women that too. If a man is crazy, ain't that baby, you can't change him. Ain't nothing you can do with him. Best thing you can do for you and him is find a way out of that situation. Because it's gonna get way more ignorant before it gets better. And let me tell you something. Sometimes ignorant will run up on you so fast you don't even know it's there until it hits you in the nose. And then it's too late because you're leaking by then. So I learned, and look, I'll tell that story. I'll tell people, look, man, I ain't a book. I'm a taxpaying citizen. I ain't scared to call the laws on you, bro. I'm telling you, because the police work all day and all night. I've seen them pick guys up at 3 in the afternoon and 3 in the morning. So I know they on duty all the time, and I will call them at any time. I ain't got
and
no
they got an orange aid. And you know they got a jumpsuit that'll fit.
Exactly. Hey, man, like I told you, they broke me up. Last time I went down there and seen a bitch about 4'6", 4'3", and that boy had a full uniform on, Steve, that looked like a tailor was in the back. I said, oh, there's nobody going. I said, no, sir, you're not getting me back down here in this orange outfit. I'm good. Hey, man, I tell brothers all the time, you'll get tired of going down there before they get tired of taking you. I promise you, I'm living proof of it. I got tired of going down there, so they ain't got to take me no more. Yeah, I'm good. I learned my lesson. I give up. I surrender. Yeah, HPD, I don't even stop and ask them for directions, bro, because it never works out. It never works out for me. So I don't have nothing to talk to the police about anymore. But if you come to my house acting a fool, I'm going to call them laws on you. Now, as long as you're out in the yard, I'm going to call the laws. But if you step across my threshold, they're going to come get you. And I'm going to leave you right there by that threshold.
You know, personally, I don't like calling them because, like I say, they don't always go well for me. You know, and, I mean, I don't go to jail or nothing like that, but you got to try to explain yourself. I had a policeman ask me, could he come in? I said, no, I can talk to you right here. Well, sir, if we could just come in, I said, no, I can talk to you right here. You stand right here, I'm not inviting you in my house.
Right.
You know, I had a young lady call the police on me to my house and say I was holding her fund hostage, which I was, you know what I'm saying? But I was only holding hostage because she had called the police on me. I didn't want her fund you, but I wanted to teach her a lesson. I wanted to show her that they ain't always on your side. And if you get the right laws out there, they're going to have to follow a certain law themselves. They just can't just come in my house if I don't invite them.
Right.
So I talked to both of them outside. You know, but like I said, I don't like calling them, but when I do call them, that means I need your help. Not because I feel like my life is in danger, but because I'm trying to stop myself from getting a whole lot of trouble that I don't need to get in. Because it's easy to get in this trouble, but it's hard to get out of it. You know, so, hey, man, if you're in a relationship where you with an abusive woman, leave. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can do.
You might not want to, but I'm telling you, it's best for you to just leave that woman alone. I've been in it too many times. I try to teach my nephews, say, man, you need to leave that chick alone. I'm telling you what's going to happen. You don't want to hear me, but I've been through this. You've seen me go through it. So why don't you learn the lesson from me? You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to go through what I went through. But, of course, you know, everybody got to bump their own head, though.
Right. Sometimes I'm going to say God offers you two ways to learn things. You get the easy way, which is you telling them.
Yeah.
Or they can learn the hard way, which is them going down there.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, what does Stewie say? Whatever we learn, you're going to learn it one way or the other. And let me tell you something. I've been through it enough where I know that I don't like the hard way to learning no more. That's just not what I like to do, Steve.
You know, what Jay-Z say? Hov did that. Hopefully you won't have to go through that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what we look for. That, let me tell you something. I learned that I didn't want to be a crackhead by watching a crackhead. You see what I'm saying? I didn't have to smoke crack. I just saw them and knew I did not want that for me. So therefore, a crackhead taught me that I didn't want to smoke crack. Yeah, they taught me that easily. Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt it too. It ain't. Yeah. I'm telling you
that. I've been in a situation where I tried to leave. Sometimes they won't even let you leave.
Exactly.
I had a woman stand in front of the door with two knives in her hand. To stop me from leaving. Huh?
Ronnie Love, I'll call her from my phone.
Oh, okay. Is he on now?
No, I
okay. All right. I'll call him back.
She wouldn't let me leave. Right. I had to sneak out like a thief in the night. I had to wait till everything, till she was gone, she wasn't there. I didn't even take no furniture, no. All I took was the clothes I had, and I left. Her mom calls me up and tells me, my daughter said you took everything. But when I went to the house, everything was still there. I said, well, she said everything. She just meant all my stuff. All the stuff I bought her, she can have that. I just wanted to get out the relationship.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I did not want to, you know, continue. Every day I came home from work, I had to fight or argue with her about something. And that's just, you know, you got to have peace in your own house.
Exactly.
And what's so funny about it? Years later, I ran to her mama. Of course, this girl's in jail now because she's back and forth. She just stabbed a couple of brothers. I was just fortunate to make it out.
You got out in time.
I got out. And
ain't going good.
And she was,
Steve, ain't going good.
All the time.
She was asking me how I was doing. I said, well, you know, I just had a house built out here on the north side. You know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, well, you and my daughter were supposed to have that. I said,
no. No,
you don't even like me, do you? Because there's no way in the world I would have all this if I was with your daughter. It's just not possible. Not from the relationship that we was in. It was just too violent.
Right.
I mean, anything will set her off.
Yeah.
I mean, putting the wrong ingredient in some food will set her off. You know what I'm saying? So it just didn't matter. You know, I couldn't be in this relationship without, you know, I managed to get away unscathed.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, but hey, man, but mentally, say, man, it was.
Oh, you still scarred, right?
Yeah, now. I mean, it was just, you know, I'm like, if I see anybody remotely, then it look like her, I'm going the other
way. Yeah, you go the other direction.
I'm not doing
it. Hey, we got a caller, Ronnie Love. What's going on, brother? I'm good. What you got a question?
I'm just around here, man. I'm a
okay. Yeah, we sitting here talking about domestic violence and the different situations that's going on and Reggie, you talking about leaving like a thief in the night?
Yeah.
Ask Steve about me packing Camaros and all. Steve, one more day out there?
Boy, you got it. Hey man, look here. Before I knew it, you was gone.
Hey, man, look here. Let me tell you something, Reggie. Sometimes you got to leave like a thief in the night. Even if you don't take nothing, but your stuff.
Look, I had it planned out. I called one of my partners and say, look, man, this girl's going to leave. She's going to be gone for a while. I need you to pull your Suburban up to the house so I can make my getaway.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
He was like, are you serious? I said, look, man, I'm serious. I cannot leave
without
a fight.
Yeah, without him. Yeah, I don't want
to. I said, please, dude, hey, she left. I made that phone call. Hey, man, she gone. Get here fast. He pulled right on up.
Right.
I hold all my stuff in his car, and we was gone.
Daddy.
You know what I'm saying? I felt less than a man that I had to sneak out the house like that. But that was the only way I could leave without a physical altercation. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something. You get your manhood back down the street. That little piece of manhood you left in that house, leave it there. Because you can look, it's just like blood. Like if you cut yourself and you lose a little blood, guess what? When it heal up, you're going to make some more. Don't worry about that manhood you left there. Just you took what you got some more down the street. You all right? That's how you got to look at life.
Believe me, that was expensive.
The military calls that a strategic retreat.
That is. Amen. I'm with you on that, Steve. And let me tell you something. In my life, I have made several strategic retreats. And Reggie talking about leaving furniture. Bro, I didn't leave furniture. TVs, clothes, shoes, all of that. Let me tell you something. If I think it's gonna affect my sanity, I will leave it. Let me tell you something about it. I always used to say this when I was younger. I don't say it no more because I ain't finna do it no more. But a real player never scared to start from zero. I can start from zero and get it all back again. So if I left something, it's gone. I don't care. We have a question, I think.
Yes, you have a question.
Okay, go ahead, producer.
Why do you think it's so hard for a woman to exit out of an abusive relationship?
Well,
I
go ahead, Steve. I'm gonna let you tackle that one first. Then I'm gonna give
okay, my. So the question is, why is it so hard for a woman to leave an abusive relationship?
Right.
Okay, well, most women are fearful. Of some kind of reprisal, you know, if I leave, he gonna do this and that. I mean, they got a million and one lifetime movies to show that has happened. They got a million and one episodes of First 48 where that has happened, where a woman tried to leave an abusive relationship and this man just won't let her go. And a lot of women stay in an abusive relationship because they're scared, and rightfully so. If you have a man who's crazy, outweighs your resourcefulness or your bravery, then what do you do? You try to, hell, didn't Tina Turner try to do that with Ike? He waited till he fell asleep in a coke induced coma and tried to get all her kids to leave.
Right. But that's because Ike was paying her mama.
Yeah.
You know, paying all her mama bills. So Ike knew what he was doing. And what it was her mama wasn't really her mama. But let me tell you something. I'm going to protect my child. I don't care how much money you're giving me.
Yeah.
I'm going to protect my child. So that wasn't really her mama. Her mama was her mama out of convenience. Because that was Annie Mae's mama. That wasn't Tina Turner's mama. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
She was her mama when she was Annie Mae and broke. Yeah. But when she got to be Tina Turner, and she made more of her lines with Ike Turner. You see what I'm saying? And Ike and his money. So she knew if Tina Turner, she got to turn Tina Turner back in to keep Ike Turner's money.
Yeah.
So that's what was up with that situation. That movie was crazy as all I know. But my thinking on that is this. A lot of times women get involved with men and get caught up in the circle of the financial stability of a situation. He might be beating the hell out of you, but he make $150,000 a year, and you don't want to give that up. So you
wasn't that a Tyler Perry movie?
Huh?
Wasn't that a Tyler Perry movie?
It's been several Tyler Perry movies. But the thing is, you figure that the luxury of the money outweigh the lumps on your head. You get more money than you get lumps. So you will stay there and take a lump or two, and your payment is I get to go to the Louis Vuitton shop and buy me a $2,000 purse or $2,500 purse and put $2,000 in it. See, but the thing is, you have to understand that how much is your soul worth? You know, how much is selling your soul and your dignity worth? Especially when you start bringing in children and things of that nature. You know, a lot of women will say, well, I don't want to leave because I don't want my kids not to have their father. But if their father is the father is there beating on the mother, then he's doing more damage than he is good for the development of these children. So you be best to get out of it.
Yeah, dude. I'm doing the show
with somebody who is nurturing and can help you take care of those kids and raise them rather than being in that abusive relationship. So a lot of times it's financial. It's, you know, it's a lot of different dynamics when you come to dealing with women. And sometimes women just develop a sick sense of soul tie to certain people. You know, she may feel like she can save this man. If only if I don't do this, I don't do that, then he wouldn't act like that. I could change him. You can't change him unless his ass wear a diaper. That's period. Well, no, if he don't wear diapers, you can't change that fool. If he is what you got. If he is Sugar Ray Leonard and you is Michael Spinks, get out before you lose all your teeth. That's all I can tell you. Or either get your behind in the ring. You like, look, what was that movie called? Well, Girl Learn How to Fight. You know,
that was that movie with Halle Berry, or Jennifer Lopez.
What's her name?
That's Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
What was I can't name? Say. I know the movie you're talking about. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. She got away from it and faked her own death and learned how to fight. So if she ever seen him again, he was gonna get a whooping. That would be my suggestion to you. Fake your own death. Get out of there. Hey man, look here. Everything.
Well, my wife is laughing at you in the background, JD. I just want you to understand this. She listening. She laughing.
Extreme circumstances call for extreme measures sometimes. Go ahead, Rich. What's your
story? A lot of women fall for that, baby, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it no more. So that keeps them held in the situation too because they say, well, he was sorry about it. You know, he apologized, he pleaded with her. He was crying himself.
Right.
Making them think that he's never going to do this again. But hey, man, once this situation that made him fight you in the first place come up again, he's going to do exactly what he did the first time.
Right. Because, like you said, little simple triggers. Like you said, wait a minute. The way they killed me was you put the wrong ingredient in the food. All
right, man.
And look here, bro. Look. But that's funny if you say that because so many women put that in their household right now to this day.
Cooked the whole pot of gumbo. She's mad because I put bell peppers and onions in it.
Boyhood.
Poured the whole pot out in the front lawn. And when her mom and them showed up, I was sitting in the living room with a bowl of gumbo. Right. I got me a bowl out of there, so I wasn't concerned about her pouring it out.
Right.
You just let her. I said, I just let her. No, I didn't stop her. I said, but you got. I should have done that. I'm doing exactly what I should.
No, who showed up? My
mom. My mom. They was coming over to enjoy the gumbo.
Right. But they told you should have whooped up. Yeah. I said, hell no, you should have whooped up. But she was little. Oh. Let me tell you something about my daddy used to say, I'd rather whoop you when you're a puppy than wait till you're a full grown damn dog and try to whoop you. Right. See, because you can whoop a puppy, but when that dog become a real full grown pit bull, try to whoop him and see what happens. You won't get your arm chewed off. Right. So, no, you should have whooped him. Don't tell me I should have whooped as the man with ass he grown. That is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's what and that's why I say life is misguided so often. Now, hold on, my producer say we have another comment or question.
One last question.
Yes, ma'am. Let's go.
Why do men stay?
Why do men stay? Mm-hmm. Woo, Steve, I'm going to let you attack this one first again.
Okay. You got some men who stay in an abusive relationship because they figure, you know what? She loved me. She loved me, but I can't find another woman who do what she do. Whether right. it's sexual, whether it's financial, she might keep missing clothes, but she might treat him like a little boy. She get right. out upside the head. I was watching an episode on Facebook. You know, some of the comedies that they got on Facebook, you know, and one of them was just like that. It was an abusive relationship, you know. He talking about, hey, baby, I'm finna go to the club. Who said you could go to the club? Well, remember, baby, I told you that, I asked you, remember, earlier this week?
Yeah.
Hold on, my wife walked by talking about lies. I'm talking about a skit on Facebook, baby. She been talking about lies. Because first of all, I don't got to ask her, because see, in my household, I'm Mufasa.
I'm going to tell you why I stayed in an abusive relationship. It was guilt. It was just guilt, strictly guilt. Guilt. Every time I got ready to leave, it was, oh, you just gonna leave me? Oh, you just gonna, you know, and I would feel guilty and be like, you know, like maybe I can stay here and work this out, you know what I'm saying? It was always, guilt kept me for a long time till I just didn't feel guilty no more. Like I said, I had to leave like a thief in the night.
Right.
But guilt held me there for a long time. How much she loved me. And, you know, you know, this and that, you know, and I listened to it. And I don't know why I felt guilty, but I just felt guilty. And I would not leave. I tried to make it work with her, but I couldn't do it. So it's a lot of reasons why people stay with somebody. Guilt, you think you love them, y'all got kids together, or financially. Those are the main reasons I think people stay in abusive relationships.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. But with men, it's a little different because men usually are able to support themselves financially, you know. So sometimes you have the rare cases where the woman makes a lot more money and the man is with her, but because of her money, and that happens a lot. But you know, most of the time, a lot of times, it's because the man is so infatuated with what she looks like or what she does for him and how fine she is, and he can show her off and all that. But let me tell you something, bro. That right there would never, ever be enough to keep me about how fine you is. Reggie will attest to that and tell you, I done put somebody out of my house that was thought she was fine as a cat hair. But you still got to go. You got to get out that door. Bottom line.
And you going to let me is what I was told. I said, I'm going to let you.
Yeah. And Steve, let me tell you something. And a lot of times men get caught up in that fascination with the nookie. As they, I'm gonna just say it like that, with the nookie, as they say. But I have learned something through my 51 years of life that ain't but two kinds out there. It's the big old goons and the good old big ones. So she even got one of them. So I'm gonna deal with it like this. So if I lose you, I'll find, if you got the good old big one, I'm gonna find one with the big old good one. And that's just all there to it. So you can leave me alone and let me go. I will cut the strings on relationship like a flight, like a kite in flight, and let that thing go. I don't never have to see it again. Yeah, I'm good. But let me tell you something. It is really no reason for man or woman to stay in an abusive relationship. You have to understand that you have to be responsible for your own self-worth, your own well-being, and your own mindset, you know what I'm saying? Your own self-esteem, Cat Williams said, it's self-esteem of yourself. So how can I, it's esteem of your damn self. How can I be the cause of your low self-esteem? You need to build that up first before you even try to get in a relationship with somebody, or else you will be opening yourself up to any type of situation that presents itself. And so many people feel so neglected and broken in life that they are willing to accept anything and be a part of anything just to say they're in a relationship. But let me tell you something. A relationship has to be just that. A relation, it has to be two people relate to each other, you know, in a partnership type situation rather than a submissive and a dominant or, you know, something to that nature. That throws the whole dynamics of a real relationship off. But many people stay in broken relationships that they should really just abandon abolish and disregard ever again. But they stay there out of familiarity. Yeah. You know, but we have to get past that, especially in our Black community, because we need to start back building our families, and we got to build our Black community back one household at a time.
You have to learn to love yourself as well.
Exactly. That's the first thing that has to be
prepared. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying.
And so many people don't love themselves and haven't forgiven themselves for past mistakes in relationships, and they tend to end up repeating those same cycles over and over again. So we need to get to the point where we get some healing in our communities and get some just get the building our communities back, man. And I think the brunt of the problem stems from the Black man getting himself together first and starting to deal with some of the ills that, you know, tend to affect the Black men more than they do any other race of man on this planet. You know, so we got to get back to being strong Black men and taking responsibility for ourselves and our households. So,
JD,
yeah,
I'm sorry. You know, let me just say this, man, because my wife always brings this up.
Yeah, go ahead.
She always talks about her grandfather and the men of his generation and how they took care of things, how they led things. You know, those men, they led worship, not just in church, but in the house.
Right.
Those men, they were leaders in their communities. You know, when you saw these men walking or you passed by them, you know, if you were shooting dice on the corner, if they walked by, you grabbed your dice and put it behind your back. You know, if you were smoking or you was drinking, you saw them coming, you put it behind your back because it was out of respect. And man, we've come a long way from that, man. We don't hide our hand when we know we're doing wrong, when we see our elders and people who have pushed the envelope and put us to where we are. We Colin Powell said it best that America has lost its sense of embarrassment. We can't be embarrassed. Nothing embarrasses us.
Exactly. You know,
man, I couldn't be caught dead, man, embarrassing myself in front of my wife's grandfather, man, because he was like my grandfather. My two biological grandfathers, man, it had nothing to do with me or all my family, let alone my daddy's daddy walked out on him when he was 12 years old. My mama's daddy did the same thing in Louisiana. So, again, when I talk about how my dad said he'd never abused my mom and all the stuff that he went through, he never left my mom because he went through that as a child. Watching his daddy whoop on my grandmother, watch his daddy walk out on him. And he swore that he'd never do that to his family. And now we got a bunch of men, man, who don't have that type of lesson. You know, they're not doing it. You know, they don't do that. They don't give a damn about their family and who looking at them and how they look. They have no shame. And I can't have my son or my daughter or my wife, man, to ever think that I won't slap the hell out of any man or put them first, that I wouldn't put them first in my life. And I don't see, and that's the problem, man. We got a bunch of men who claim they're grown men, but if you think about it, a grown man don't have to say he's a grown man.
Exactly. Hey, man.
A grown man doesn't have to proclaim he's a grown man. I mean, we say it amongst each other, you know, just in jest. I'm a grown ass man, dog. We know that. But really, in a heated situation where things get real tough, a grown man don't have to proclaim that he grown. It's ought to be self-evident in what you do and how you carry yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we've gotten away from that, man. We've gotten too far away from that, bro.
I always told me and my wife, we've been having discussions. I said, usually whenever you hear a grown man proclaiming to his woman, hey, I'm a grown man, a grown ass man, he doing something childish as hell right then. At that point, he just did something so damn childish that he feels he got to tell her I'm a grown ass man. Yeah, and that's just life. Like you just said, you don't have to proclaim you're a grown man. The way you carry yourself, the way you handle your business, the way you handle your day-to-day self, lets everybody know you're a grown man. You don't have to tell you might as well. I mean, that's like me wearing an I'm a grown man t-shirt. What the hell I got that on for? Anybody can look at me and tell if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that's a grown man over there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but so like I say, whenever you find yourself in front of your woman talking about I'm a grown ass man, you have just done something childish as hell. This is all it is to it. There's nothing else. I don't know no other way to explain it other than that. You childish as hell when you said that, bro. And that's just my feeling. But hey, we have had a good hour here, fellas, talking about domestic violence and the ills in our community. And we're probably going to expound on this some other episodes. But I appreciate you guys coming in with your information and your points of view, and just helping the people understand that we have to get to a point where we cannot sweep stuff under the rug anymore in our communities, in our households. We have to have the hard discussions, the good, you know, ask the tough questions and get the tough ass answers. Because no longer can we sit at the Thanksgiving dinner table and watch Ain't I Irene with them damn shades on. You know, and Uncle Ernest sitting over there with that damn slit small liquor pill. And we're going to act like we don't see Ernestine with them damn shades and that swole ass eye. We need to talk to Uncle Ernest and take him outside. And the women need to talk to Aunt Irene and get her straight and see what's going on in that household. And if they can't come together to work it out and an amicable decision, then they need to part ways and get the hell on from each other before we have to kill Uncle Ernest or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not... Right. We got to get away from letting... See, we talk about our black women and the mistreatment of them, but we do more mistreating of them than anybody. And let me tell you something. The world ain't going to respect them if we don't respect them first. You know what I'm saying? If we don't respect them and revere our women and take care of them like they should be taken care of, then we can't expect the world to look at us in a respectable way or look at our women in a respectable way. You know, that's what I tell people about, you know, the mantra, Black Lives Matter. But how can you holler about Black Lives Matter when you out here doing things that don't even help the black community? We out here robbing and killing each other. If they don't matter to us, they damn sure ain't going to matter to white folks. You know, they don't care nothing about us. They see it as, y'all don't care about y'all, we ain't going to care about y'all. That's the same way they see about us when we deal with our women. When we out in the stores talking crazy to our women and our children in front of public and then want everybody else to respect them, but you don't. That's not going to work, brother. We have to start with respecting our own families first, brother, our own women first. Stop the domestic violence, stop the, what they call it, intimate partner violence, whatever. Keep your damn hands to yourself. They teach you that in the third grade. If you can't keep your hands to yourself, go get your own place. That's what I tell you. And lock the door and make sure you stay in there. That's what that would be my advice. You got some advice for the people out there, Rich?
Excuse me. Well, all I can say is, man, just keep your hands to yourself. I mean, if you know that you don't want nobody putting their hands on you, just treat them like you want to be treated. Everybody be all right. You know,
exactly.
You know, I'm not going to go around and slap this brother and be mad because he slapped me back. I mean, that's just crazy. I don't want nobody slapping. I can't stand to be slapped, period.
Man.
So I know I'm not going to slap nobody.
Yeah.
So if you you know, live your life like you want to be treated, then this world, period, would be just better.
Much
you know,
better.
But
exactly.
When you run around here thinking, hey, man, I could do this and there ain't no consequences, and, I don't care if I did them. They shouldn't have done it to me. We ain't going to never get nowhere.
Never.
True.
All right, Steve, you go ahead and sign off with your last thoughts on this situation. And then you
can't we all just get along?
Look out, Rodney.
Can't we all just get along? I mean, really. I mean, in a relationship, man, you got sometimes, you know, I've heard that you got to go along to get along, but sometimes, man, that ain't the type of ride you want to take.
No, it's not at all.
You know, my wife behind me going, She back at the we're going to put on the show. We're going to have a couples night one night, man. We just have our significant others, man, and just talk about marriage. She up here talking about, Is that all you can say? Because you're in the middle of this conference. Anyway.
Steve.
Like I'm trying to say.
Steve, I don't want to see you get whooped on camera. Just sign off, brother. I don't want to.
Yeah, because you see I keep looking over my shoulder with this nerve.
Yeah, look, you look like you're nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocket chairs.
So hey, man, my wife from that 4-4.
Yeah, and I don't want her to hit you with a 4-4. So we all over to sign off, and we're going to see you next week, brother. You go ahead and sign off, Mr. Bobbino.
All right, man. This Big Steve coming all the way live, man, from the South Park, the dead end, to Hyde Park, all the way to Spring, Texas. I'd have been all in places, seen enough. But I know what I haven't seen enough of is I haven't seen enough love, man. We need to have more love. So I'm challenging my friends, you two guys, man. Just do as much as you can, man, to show some love to somebody. Whether it's the person behind you, spring for a hamburger or a treat or something, or just pay something to pay it for. We can show somebody else, random folks, just showing some love, man. So this world, the world we live in, man, sure is lacking it.
Oh, it's raggedy, bro. We got to patch it up and fix it, baby. Yeah, we got to patch. We as the black men got to patch it up and fix it, man. That's all it is to it. All right,
and that's why I say I like to challenge my brothers, man, to just show some random acts of kindness, man, throughout your day, throughout your week, just something random, random.
I'm with that. I take that challenge. Yeah. Go ahead, Reggio. On you.
Well, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly about what you're saying. We need to show more love. You know, it don't cost you nothing to be kind to somebody. I mean, just by saying, hey, man, how you doing? How's your day?
Exactly.
Yep. So, you know, I agree with you about that. You know, and I enjoy being on the show. This is Big Reggio from the sunny side, Texas.
Yes,
via the north side, you know.
Yes.
Don't know how I've been out there 10 years, but you know I'm there and I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
and I like to see you folks, see you fellas next week.
Oh, yeah,
same time, same channel.
This is JD of JD's Man Cave, and we like I said, we try to take on an interesting topics and topics that we think are pertinent in the black community. And like I said, domestic violence or whatever you want to call it, what is it? Okay, they call it intimate partner violence.
Yeah,
is the new term that they coined now as because of the dynamics of the different types of relationships that we have in our community. But anyway, either one, we need to curtail the frequency of this and learn to love on your partners and be. You know, mindful of what you do in your relationship, and like the guy saying, love on one another instead of bringing hate and chaos to your household. So we'll see y'all. This, like I said, this is JD. We'll see y'all next week on JD's Man Cave, 7 o'clock, right here on this channel. We'll see you then. Thank y'all for joining
us. Sure.
JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.